From WILL's Illinois newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Monday, April 24th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with the Piatt County Board Vice Chair about the county's rejection of wind farm proposals. That story from Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Closing arguments are expected to begin today in one of Illinois' most consequential corruption trials of the past decade. Dave McKinney reports.
For nearly 6 weeks, jurors have heard federal prosecutors and defense lawyers argue about what constitutes a bribe in Springfield. Four former Commonwealth Edison executives and lobbyists are standing trial for allegedly conspiring to bribe former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan to boost the company's legislative fortunes. Jurors could start deliberations as early as Tuesday. Prosecutors have played nearly 150 audio and video recordings and relied on testimony from a government mole who was a former senior executive at ComEd. The defense has argued no bribes were paid to Madigan, and there's nothing illegal about fulfilling job requests from public officials. Dave McKinney, WBEZ News.
Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul joined a coalition calling for a federal recall of some Kia and Hyundai cars after they say the companies failed to take steps to prevent theft. Cameron Cutinello has more.
Attorneys general from 17 states and the District of Columbia sent a letter to a federal agency asking for the recall. The letter says the Kias and Hyundais built from 2011 to 2022 lack anti-theft technology. Social media shows people how to steal the cars, and thieves post videos doing just that. The coalition had sent a letter to the companies in March asking them to take steps to fix the issue. Raoul released a statement that the companies failed to create a solution, and he believes a recall is necessary to protect consumers. Kia and Hyundai say their cars comply with federal anti-theft requirements. I'm Cameron Cutinello.
The bipartisan infrastructure law authorized up to $108 billion in funds for public transportation initiatives. Nuria Fernandez is the administrator of the Federal Transit Administration. She says the needs usually outweigh dollars available, so this infusion of cash allows the government to move forward on a number of projects, including getting more electric and hybrid buses on the roads.
26% of the greenhouse gases in this nation are generated by transportation, and that's all modes of transportation. So those of us in public transit have the opportunity not only to green the fleet, that is the buses, but to also attract people out of their cars.
The law includes $5.6 billion in low or no emission bus grants for public transit agencies around the country. That's enough to support the replacement of thousands of diesel buses. Fernandez was the McCord Lecture keynote speaker Friday morning at Bradley University. One poet has written about what it means to be a black woman throughout history in America's southern states. Nikki Finney is an award-winning author and professor of creative writing and southern letters at the University of South Carolina. She told the 21st show why her poetry is important.
If you're not curious about how we got here, then you really don't understand why we are here. There are people in strategic places who would put laws into place, who would like to keep everything as it is. That alarms me as a poet and as a human being.
In 1739, it was illegal to teach a slave to read or write in South Carolina. And for spreading controversial literature, Finney says the penalty was death. Still to come, a conversation between Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows and the Piatt County Board Vice Chair about the county's rejection of wind farm proposals. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new four-part documentary, Fight the Power, How Hip-Hop Changed the World, recounts the origins of the revolutionary art form, hip-hop. The film explores hip-hop's roots as an expression of experience that was groundbreakingly unapologetic. Fight the Power was written by Public Enemy's Chuck D. It reveals how a black-focused cultural phenomenon changed American history. Learn how you can watch this and other documentaries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. The Piatt County Board has formally rejected a wind farm proposal from Virginia-based Apex Clean Energy, And voters in the county of about 16,000 people recently said no to wind farms during an advisory referendum. But a new state law appears to prevent counties from rejecting the projects entirely from this point on. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows recently spoke to the Piatt County Board vice chairman about what's going on.
Well, Jerry Edwards, it's a local election, so turnout is low, but do you think that 70% of that body of voters saying no to wind farms pretty well represents the county?
I would hope so. I know up in the northern end of the county where it was going to be affected, it was more like 80%.
And that's the area you represent?
Yes, District 1, which incorporates all of what that commercial wind operation was wanting to set up.
But since that referendum was placed on the ballot, I understand it's since then that the governor signed legislation which essentially changes what counties can do in terms of limiting wind farms.
Oh, yeah, it definitely changes. I'm sure that the wind industry was behind all this because the timing is just too coincidental. And to exempt Chicago, where they call it the Windy City, you've got all of Lake Michigan that they could have put towers up there.
So are the county's hands tied in terms of just saying no absolutely to wind farms?
Some of us are sitting there and thinking, we open ourselves up to a lawsuit without a doubt. And there's people out there says, well, sue us. We'll tie this up in court for years.
Is Piatt County ready to consider that sort of action?
I certainly would. I speak for myself only.
What do you think would be the legal argument in a case like that against the new law setting a state standards for siting wind farms?
I don't have a problem setting state standards. Who drew up the blueprint for these standards? My guess is that the wind industry set these standards. I don't think there was anybody in the state that had anything to do with this.
So what's next for Piatt County? Do you expect another wind farm proposal from one company or another to be coming in the near future?
Oh, yes. I think that Apex will be filing as soon as the 1st of June. And I know that there have been landowners approached on south, even west of Monticello, looking for land. You know, the biggest problem we have here is absentee landowners. If you took out the absentee landowners out of this proposal, they would not have enough land to do it.
Now, there are some local landowners.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I remember speaking to one at a zoning meeting who said, you know, he lives on the site and he's okay with the wind farm.
And that's true. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion and their own wishes. It's their land. They have a right to do on their land what they wish, but they do not have a right by doing things on their land that interferes with their neighbors.
That was Piatt County Board Vice Chairman Jerry Edwards speaking with Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows. Nearly 70% of the ballots cast in a countywide advisory referendum opposed wind farms in the county. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny with a high of 58 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Cameron Cutinello, Tim Shelley, May Antar, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.